This morning, I want us to look at the subject of worship, and maybe to look at some various aspects of what worship is, and to challenge us maybe on a few things this morning, and maybe get us to respond to God in a way that maybe we've never done before. You know, in worship, worship is all about Him, isn't it? Worship is all about Him. And it's seeing Him for who He is. And in seeing Him for who He is, it gives us a perspective on our own lives. And in one sense, we get a perspective of just how incredible He is and how small, and we could be insignificant, but actually we're not insignificant to God. Nobody's insignificant. No life is insignificant. We're so precious to Him. We're so actually significant in one sense to Him that He would send His Son to die for us. That's how much He loves us. So in one sense, you know, like David said, you know, what is man that you're mindful of him? You know, in one sense, who are we? Because we're so small in comparison to God. But that's the wonder of meditating upon who God is, because He is so incredible and wonderful, yet He does think about us, and He does see the struggles that we go through, and He does see the things that you are dealing with at the moment. And I know that in this room, there are people that are going through big challenges at the moment. You know, God sees that. And, you know, my heart as a leader and as a pastor, it breaks sometimes. And it's really saddens me to see some of the things that people have to go through. And, you know, there have been times where I've been home and I've cried because of what some of you have had to go through and what some of you have been through. So I know that it's so important to have a right view of God. Would you agree? You know, and if that's how I feel, just as a pastor of a church, you know, God sees what you're going through. And He wants to wrap His arms of love around you. He wants to be the rock solid foundation of your life. And I just want to encourage you to make Him the foundation, to make Him the rock solid foundation of your life. And I want to ask you again, what's the picture of God that you have in your mind? Because the picture of God that we have in our mind is going to be a good indicator of how we respond to God, but also a good indicator of how we surrender and submit ourselves to Him and allow Him to work in our lives. So what's your impression of God? Is He a God that is so glorious and so powerful, and He's a God that is just reigning forever on His throne, which is what the Bible teaches, that there is nothing impossible for you, that He's a God full of love, full of light, full of glory. He's a God that is for you, not against you. Is that the God that you worship? Or do we worship a God who is somehow something less? Somehow less than the reality? Because, you know, if we worship a small God, then our problems are easily going to overcome, easily be overshadowed by the impression of who God is. And so this morning, really, I want to encourage us and look into the Word of God and to see, get a revelation again of His glory and what He is like in heaven. You know, so many people, when they met with God in the Old Testament, they couldn't help it. They fell down on their faces. They fell flat on their faces, or they bowed or bowed their knee. They couldn't help responding in that way, just because they came and encountered God in His complete power and glory. I mean, it wasn't something that the people said, you need now to bow our heads and we will the count of 10. They came into the presence of God and bam! They were completely consumed and overwhelmed. And so this morning, just thinking about worship, and to encourage you, you know, if you're going through a difficult time, don't lose sight of who God is. Let's get an idea of, the wonderful God that we serve. You know, we can talk about God, and we can have conversations about God, but forgetting that if we saw him, we will be completely transfixed, completely absorbed. And, you know, having a big view of God is so important. Why? Because if we don't have a big view of God, we can get ungrateful. We can get ungrateful. If we have a small view of God, we can think that he was created for us, not us, to worship him. And, you know, if we have a small view of God, sooner or later then we will say, well, why isn't God making me happy? I mean, God's here to make me happy. If we have the wrong view of God, God's not here to make us happy necessarily. But knowing God is the most joyful and wonderful thing. But actually, ultimately, he isn't here for us. He is here for us, but he's not here to make us happy. We are here to serve him and to serve his purposes. You understand what I'm saying? Having a small view of God. You know, I've heard people say, well, if this is the way it is, I'm not following him. If this is the way it is, well, I mean, you know, God needs to do some, you know, God needs to do some more stuff. I'm not happy. I'm not happy with the way that things are working out for me. I mean, we're not here, are we? For him to serve us, as it were. We are here to follow his words and for him to say, this is what I want you to do. And we say, yes, Lord, in submission to you, yes, I'm going to do it. So it's so important, the view of God that we have. So what view of God do you have? Do you have a big view of God? Of what he's like? Or is our view somehow warped? Isaiah 6, 1 to 7. And I'd like to read that. And like I said, there were so many people that met with God that had radical encounters that changed their perception and their view, and therefore their attitudes and their behavior. Isaiah chapter 6, 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they called to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, and the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And this was an interesting time for Israel. Because Uzziah had died. And he'd been their king for about 50 or so years. And everything had gone well. Uzziah was a good king. And they're now wondering, what is going to happen to us? What's going to happen to our future? Are things now going to change? And so they were wondering. It was a period of unrest. And then now God takes Isaiah and he takes him and he gives him a picture of God. Wow. So in a place of uncertainty, in a place probably of sadness, in a place of confusion, in a place of, wow, uncertain, you know, what is going to happen now? God takes him in that moment and he takes him, as it were, into heaven and gives him a picture of who God is. Takes him into a throne room, into the throne room, and gives him a picture of actually who is in control. Sometimes, you know, we need that, don't we? A picture of who's in control of our lives. Because sometimes we're looking around us and there's chaos and there's problems and there's all sorts of things happening. Sometimes we need that perspective. And in verse 5, it says there, "Woe to me, for I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips." And so when Isaiah comes before God, there's a comparison. You're so holy, and yet I see something in me that isn't so good. Actually, I think Isaiah was a pretty good chap. And he says, "Oh dear, because I have had unclean lips. So I've spoken some wrong words. I think my list of things that I've done might be more than just a few wrong words." What do you think? He's Isaiah. He's standing before God. "Oh dear, I've said some wrong words." He's presented with an incredible, holy, almighty God. And you know, when whether Isaiah felt like his world was about to fall apart, I don't know. But it's interesting, at that time, God picked him out and gave him a picture of somebody bigger than his issues. And it was almost like he said, "I'm not going to talk about your feelings, but I want to show you and counsel you to show you something bigger concerning your future." And you know, God wants us to see a vision for something bigger and something better for your life. And you know, God does that by giving us a picture of him and his glory. You know, because the way out of problems is not to concentrate on our problems and the issues that we're going through. The way out of our problems is to what? See him. See him. The way to deeper worship is to see him for who he is. The reality of God in heaven. I mean, God is here with us, isn't he? Where two or three are gathered, God is here. I mean, God is here with us. But to see him, as it were, in his glory, the wonder, the splendor of who he is. You know, I think if we could see God right now for just a few seconds, we would be overwhelmed. You were saying that you had a vision this morning of this wall disappearing and the glory of God just shining through with God's hands outstretched to us. I mean, that's a brilliant picture. Amazing. Wow, if we could see God right now like that. Woo. But you know what? That's the reality. That is the reality of God's presence with us here. Wow. You know, in that place, there's such deep worship, such deep honoring, such deep admiration. And we're giving to God. But it's almost as we're in God's presence, you know, and we might feel, wow, we've done some, you know, there's a a giving back. As we're giving to him, he's giving back. Forgiveness, love, affirmation, hope, trust, removal of fear, whatever it is. What a place to be. And you know, this isn't just a preach this morning. I don't want it to be a preach. I want it to be an opportunity for us to recognize and realize, and maybe in some small way in a few moments. I said to the guys, what it would be great to do is just have just a couple of minutes for us. So we're not going to sing and we're not going to pray. We're just going to be quiet. Why the guys playing in a few moments for us to, and you know, it's so easy. So, you know, it's difficult to be quiet sometimes in our culture, because as soon as there's like three seconds, we're on the phones. Or we're doing something to fill up that time. Don't do anything to fill up that time. I want you to sit with your eyes closed, and I want you to see God again in his glory, in all of his wonder. And I want those thoughts to strengthen you this morning. Is that all right? Strengthen you this morning. And I also want to challenge you, and some of you will find this uncomfortable, but some of you need to do this. Because maybe some of you have never lifted your hands in worship. Or maybe some of you have never done this. Because, you know, actually that can be quite a big step from here to here. But I really want to encourage you this morning, as we spend some time just thinking about gazing, not doing anything, not making any noise ourselves. Maybe some of you need to say, actually, I need in my posture as well to worship God on the next level of where I've been. Some of you might say, oh, I can't do that, it's outside my comfort zone. Just, you know, this is a safe place. This is a place where we are to be trained and to deepen our relationship with God, so that we can leave this place to go and live even more effective lives for God. How would it be that we are so aware of the presence of God that when we go, just like Smith Wigglesworth, you know, people are getting convicted, people are getting healed, God's moving through us, we're hearing from God, we're speaking things into people's lives, full. All of those insecurities, all of those fears, all of those things that that we've had for so long, maybe even God could just rid you of one of those things today, just as we get consumed with who he is. So it will, for some of us, you know, it's good for us to think about how we would react to him if God walked in. How would we react to him if we stood before him? What are we going to do in response to him? And you know, there are lots of other examples. Ezekiel, also we can read that. I won't read it, but in Ezekiel 1 again, there's a picture of him having an encounter with God, and he tries to describe God. He says the top half of him is like burning and there's little on fire, and the bottom half is just like, he's like seeing God in heaven, and he doesn't have the words to describe it. It's like this and it's like that, but wow! It's like a kind of like burning amber. I mean, I don't know what burning amber looks like, do you? What's that, you know? And the bottom half is like, well, it's like metal, but it's on fire. It's like the brightest and most awesome thing I've ever seen. I'm seeing it, but I don't really have the words to describe it. It's like an atomic bomb, or it's just beyond my ability to express it, but I'm going to try to put it down in words to try. I mean, that type of encounter would change you, wouldn't it? Meeting, seeing God like that because that is who he is. I mean, I think if we, and you know, I'll confess to you, you know, I struggle sometimes with worship. I want to come, my heart is to come, and I want to dance, and I want to rejoice, and sometimes I think, oh, what are people going to think of me? You know, you might think, oh, you know, Steve's an extrovert, and sometimes it's a challenge for me, and it's a challenge for all of us, I know. But the reason I want to come and dance, I want to grab Reuben and I want to dance at the front, and actually I'm really, really not worried, actually, what you think about me in the best way. Because I want to please my God. And I want to dance and celebrate, not because anybody's told me to do it, but I want to do it out of a response, because the gospel and Jesus is the best news. And I don't know anything else. And if there is anything else, I want to pour my life into that. But Jesus really is the best news. My life has been completely transformed. He's the best news. Therefore, I want to celebrate. And I think sometimes when people come in who aren't churchgoers, they'll come in and I think they're a bit confused sometimes. Now, maybe they're expecting, you know, we talk about how great God is. But sometimes I don't think that we look like it. And he is, isn't he, just the greatest news? The gospel is the only hope. And I want to encourage us. Let's see him again for who he truly is. I am literally skipping through my notes here. So John in Revelation. I mean, all of these people, they have a vision of God. And there's words in there. What's a carnelian? It says that, and one seated there looked like jasper. Is it carnelian? And a rainbow gleaming like an emerald encircled around. I mean, trying to describe the glory of God and who he is and trying to put it into man-made words. It's like I'm seeing something that is just so incredible. So, many, many, many people, you know, and we're going to come just in a moment. Ecclesiastes 5 talks about coming into the presence of God. Let my words be few. Talks about a sacrifice of fools. I was thinking, well, that's interesting. What's a sacrifice? You know, that's almost like the many words that we speak. You know, sometimes God knows our hearts. He knows where we're at. He knows the things that we're going through. He knows the struggles. He knows the heartache. He knows the pain. He knows the sadness, whatever it is. He knows. And sometimes we can come and we can say, you know, we can speak a lot of stuff to God. And sometimes, actually, God says, let our words be few. Why? So that we're not talking, but we can gaze upon him. You know, sometimes the words that we speak to God get in the way. Do you understand what I mean? So let our words, we sing that, that's a song, isn't it? Let my words be few, Jesus I am. So let my words be few so that I can gaze upon you and hear you speaking to me. So I would like just to, and I could go on for another half an hour, but maybe Ali can just come and play. I asked Alex to do that actually to wake everybody up. No, I didn't. So can I ask you, don't go on your phones. Don't go for something else. We're just going to take three or four minutes, okay? What I would like us to do is take some time just between you and God, and that you connect to God this morning, and for you to think about this, of who he really is. this God that is beyond, in one sense, the ability to describe who he is. Yet this amazing God is for us. Now, Ali, they're going to sing a song, and you don't. I don't want you to sing. When everyone just close their eyes, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're able to. Hello. To maybe take the posture of sitting on your seat, and you could slip off really quietly so nobody else can see, onto your knees. You know, actually, the first time you do that, or the first time you raise your hand, you think, oh my goodness, everybody's looking at me. Nobody's looking at you. But it's a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough moment in worship. It's a breakthrough moment in your relationship with God. You're stepping out and doing something different. And you know, the next time you do it, it'll be so much easier. And you might be saying, oh, I can't, you know, I can't get down on the floor. That's fine. That's fine. But I want to encourage you, if this is something that you feel you want to respond to in awe and wonder and worship of God, so let's just take, I'm going to stop talking. Let's take a few moments and let's be encouraged and strengthened by seeing God for who he is in glory. just want to encourage you, if you've taken a step of faith in some way in responding to God, then be encouraged and build upon it. I just want to quickly take 2 more minutes. You know, there's that amazing story in Luke 7 where Jesus describes one of the greatest parts in Scripture where it talks about worship, and it's about when the lady comes and she washes the feet of Jesus. I just want to read it to you. One of the Pharisees, this is Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to him, "If this man was a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who was touching him, for she's a sinner." And Jesus answered and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he said, "Say it, teacher." And a certain money lender had 2 debtors, and he owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, who he cancelled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." And then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And you gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she didn't cease to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she's anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she is loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say amongst them, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." What an amazing picture. Here's Jesus. He's about to die, to go on the cross. He knows what he's going to face. And who is the one who goes to minister to her, to him? Is her. And she knew actually that there's the Pharisee sitting there who maybe he thought, my life's fine. She knew her life wasn't fine. She knew all the things that she had done wrong. She knew actually she was in great need of God's forgiveness. And isn't that what it does when we come before God and we stand before him and see him for who he is? Doesn't it just, in one sense, it reminds us of our desperate need of forgiveness, but then doesn't it also remind us that we have been forgiven? That actually, yes, I have been forgiven. I am loved. I am a child. I am a new creation. It's a great picture of worship. And it's a great challenge for us, isn't it? And I sometimes in worship, we can be the ones that are like the Pharisee who says, why are they being so... She scrubbed the feet of Jesus with her hair. Tears were falling down onto his... And she was wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair. Actually, she couldn't have been much more, she couldn't have humbled herself much more, could she? I mean, that is incredible worship. The Pharisee probably was thinking, she's a bit over the top. Broke that alabaster, that's whatever it was, a year's worth of wages. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why have you made yourself look ridiculous? You know, the reason that she did that was because she knew the love of God and the value of that forgiveness. She knew who he was, and she didn't care what other people thought. I want to worship him because he has got everything that I need. So I just encourage us, you know, as we're thinking about our worship, and not just our worship in church, but our living our lives for him. You know, sometimes maybe I can be like the Pharisee. Oh, what are they doing? I wouldn't do that. Let's not be like that. Let's rather be that woman that gave herself to Jesus. Gave herself 100%, wholeheartedly. We were talking about that, kind of came through, didn't it, in the worship today, about, you know, giving ourselves completely to him. Does that all make sense? You're very quiet. It's a wonderful thing to get a big, big picture of who God is. So just to finish with, and have you been held back by what others think about you? Maybe, you know, maybe you've wanted to get baptized but been worried about getting baptized because what other people think about you. Have you, maybe you've held back from really going for God because, well, actually, what will other, the fear of man. I want to encourage, don't let those things hold you back. Be like that woman who recognized her need of God, that only this man could give to her what she needed. And you know, seriously, guys, if there is something that is more, that is important and is better than serving God, let's go and do it. Let's lock the doors and let's just go and do that thing. But there is nothing. There's no greater calling than to follow God, to know his forgiveness, to have our lives transformed by him. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There's no greater message that we've been commissioned with, because we're talking about eternity and people's lives, heaven or hell. It doesn't get any more serious and valuable than that. And that's what we're involved with. But let's go for God. In our worship, let's desire to press into him. Yeah, let's dance and celebrate and rejoice, but let's also come in those quiet places in total surrender and submission to him. Let our words be few. It's a great scripture. You can look at that in Ecclesiastes 5. Maybe I could just pray for us. And I'd love to pray if you would like some prayer. Maybe you think, I've slipped back, or maybe I've just lost my view of who God is. Love to pray for you. Tea and coffee is going to be at the back, okay? So we're going to vacate out of this area so we can go to the back, which gives us a great opportunity for us to be able to pray. Sherry, I would love you to share. Please just make it quick, though, only because of the time, because of the kids. But I'd love you to share.
I just wanted to share a picture while we were being still quickly, and it ties in a lot to what Steve was saying. I just got this picture of like a castle. It was like a Sleeping Beauty story where there's a high castle and there was loads of thorns after the evil witch cursed the land. And there was these really thick thorns covering really high around this castle, and I saw this bird that they knew they had to get through to this castle to see something special there. So it was breaking through all these really thick branches of thorns, and it was getting scraped and knocked, but it was trying really hard to make it through, and it did. And I felt that was what we have to do, is that we have to push through to see God's glory, and that's how our worship is, in our worship in our lives. And I saw this bird had its wing broken, and it had a little bandage on it, and the bird was trying to think of whether it was feeling down because it had struggled so much and it made it through, but its wing was broken and it was wounded. But I found that the bird decided that it's going to push through and worship God and give God the full glory, and even though it's hard, he decided to do it. And then I saw this bird, which was an eagle, and it began to soar really high, and it felt like it was free, and it came out of this. And then I saw the bandages break off, and it was soaring, and I saw a bird's eye view of the countryside and the mountains and everything, and it was free, and it was worth it. And I just feel that's what God is saying, that he needs us to push through and worship, and not, even if you don't get the results that you want or how things don't go how you want, if you push through, that's what God wants for you, you will be free. And it's no good, like this bird thought that it could sit in this corner and have this broken wing, and I saw that it decided to put its head below its thing, and it was feeling sorry for itself. But then after it decided to break free, it was able to see everything clearly and enjoy life with God rather than just sitting in a corner and being depressed.
Thank you. Father, thank you for, Lord, giving us this morning an encouragement to lift up our eyes to the hills where our help comes from. We know our help comes from you. Father, may we continue, Lord, to look to you and see you and see through, as it were, the layers of things that cloud, Lord, our vision of you, to look through into heaven, as it were, to see you, Lord, and to be transformed by that picture. Strengthen every person here, I pray. Lord, please help them to overcome and to see, Lord God, breakthroughs in areas of need and whatever there are, Father. I ask, Lord, please, would you move powerfully, Lord, in the lives of the people that are here. And Father, even through the difficult times, may we, Lord, hold on to you and never, Lord, lose sight of who you are. Lord, thank you for what you've done, Lord, today. And we pray, Lord, please, would you just move, Lord, increasingly by your Holy Spirit, draw us to yourself this week. And may we, Lord, be those that are saying, Lord, here I am, use me, Lord, for what you want to do in and through us. So we're going to just make some time to pray for people, if you would like, this morning. Otherwise, there's tea and coffee at the back. And if you have children, please go and rescue them from the children's workers. And have a wonderful, wonderful week this week, empowered by God. God bless you.